I have the same temptations and weaknesses as you. Just because I'm a full-time minister now, I wasn't always a full-time minister. When I worked in the workplace, I was always under the temptation to know that if I say anything about Christ, I could lose my job.
The following program, Sharing Your Faith, has been pre-recorded.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the program. This is Sharing Your Faith. I'm your host, Larry Du Bois. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about evangelism. You can go to my website at lawrencedubois.com. If you want to go there or go to the First Love Radio website that you're on now listening to this broadcast, go to the broadcaster's information and you can scroll down, get my name, and get a hold of me that way. That's probably the easiest way. So we'd like to hear from you. We got a lot planned for today, so please stay tuned. Welcome to Sharing Your Faith. Thank you for all who join in and listening from all around the world, and particularly here in the U.S. I want to mention a couple of things here. We did a live program a few days back on Monday night, June 4th. I have that on my webpage if you have missed the program. It was a question and answer session. We're hoping to do a couple of live programs a month and eventually have the people be able to call in on the phone. I was only able to take a couple of questions that were asked of me earlier in church, and I offered to take texts, questions on text, but it was a real rough go because of the technical things. The first few minutes of the program was all scratchy, and then we had some noises because I'm recording from the house, and so unless it's real quiet, that was picked up. But anyway, it was an okay broadcast, and I hope you continue to listen in the future. This week's show, we have what we would call witness in the workplace, and witness in the workplace is something I believe is a topic that everyone usually can benefit from or has questions about. Our teaching from that is going to be three passages in the Bible, Titus, the book of Titus being our main text. I think you'll be surprised what the Bible says and doesn't say concerning the workplace when it comes to evangelism. I was surprised when I was reading it, what it was focusing on. Okay, and then we got an interview today to coincide a little bit with our show to a degree. I was going to interview him anyway. His name's Harry Mims, a former member of my church, Christ Bible Church. Harry is now in Indiana, and that's his home state. And he's there. He's part of a church there, and he's doing a lot of ministry. And I talked to him about his ministry and about his witness in the corporate world. He's a software engineer and works up in the upper echelon of some of these larger companies. We have our question and answer period as traditionally. One question today is tied to the show, and that is, have you ever gotten fired from a job because you were evangelizing? And the second question is, should every Christian evangelize? So we're going to answer those questions later on. Please stay tuned for that. We also today have what I have developed now for a good month. It's called Help Wit. It's spelled H-E-L-P-W-I-T. It's something I came up with to give just a 1 or 2 minute tidbit on a practical way to witness or to remember some things about your witnessing and your evangelizing. So today's Help Wit is what I call third-party conversions. You'll have to stay tuned to figure out what I mean by that. And our featured content we're going to have on our website, it's going to be something related to the show. I haven't decided yet. Something, maybe some quick tips in the printed form or something about witnessing in the workplace. So, my friends, I'm glad you joined us today. And this week on Sharing Your Faith, I am your host, Larry Du Bois. Please stay tuned. Well, my friends, it's time for the teaching section in today's show. And the topic of our show is witness in the workplace. And this is a very good teaching today, I believe. Our main text is going to be Titus 2, verses 9 and 10. So if you'd like to turn there, if you're in a place where you can turn to your Bible, please do so. We're going to be looking at a couple of other passages as well that have great bearing on the same subject. That's going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 and the book of Colossians as well. So I'll give you those scriptures as we go to cover them. But I wanted our main text has to be in one of these three passages, so I thought it would be this one, Titus 2, 9 and 10. So we're going to be looking at what the Bible says about being a witness. In a general sense, we're called to be witnesses when Jesus gives us the Great Commission. Okay, there's also in Peter where it's, of course, specifically talking about if you're brought under a government authority, but to always be ready to give the answer of the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. We covered that on one show called Be Ready for to Give a Reason. The idea there is, in a general sense, God tells us from his word that we're to go to all people everywhere. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It leaves a very wide open door. So when we go to talk about witnessing in the workplace, that would fall under that umbrella. So they've got these general commands, general teachings of going out and being a witness. And this is a verbal witness. One of the things that Philip did in Acts chapter 8, when he was witnessing to the Ethiopian eunuch, it said that at this scripture, he opened his mouth and began to tell him about Jesus. So there will be a time when we have to open our mouth. It's a verbal communication. It's a message. And so that's the idea there. Now, there are also instructions on how to witness in certain situations, how to behave in certain situations. Well, when it comes to witnessing in the workplace, I was surprised the Bible doesn't have a lot to say about what to say in the workplace. We're going to be looking at these passages, and again, in an overview, in all three texts, it's going to be addressing slaves, bondservants, and slaves. Now, one of the things we understand at the historical context is that they lived in the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, there was slavery. It wasn't the same type of slavery America experienced a few centuries ago. It was a different kind of slavery. I don't have time to get into all that. Just to say this, the majority of the working force in the Roman Empire were slaves. And you know, we have that saying, the working stiff. You know, you're just a worker. You go to a factory and work 8-10 hours a day, come home. You do that 5-6 days a week, and you're a factory worker. You're just a working guy working. You know, so that's the idea. All the workers in the Roman Empire were for the most part, slaves. And so he addresses it. How to act as a slave. Well, now we're going to take the liberty, as many have done, as we can apply it to today, change the idea of, instead of slaves, pretend this is being written to employees and employers, because it was also being written to not only to the slaves, but the slave masters. So they were called, you know, as Christian slave masters, it says to treat your people well. So it doesn't have, again, it doesn't have the same connotations as slavery in America and you know, back in the day. Just so you know that. So when we read these texts, just think of it as employers and employees. So let's go ahead. Let's get into our study. And Titus 2, verse 9 and 10, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Well, with that first passage, I do want to say this. In my search of the New Testament scriptures there about how we should witness Christ in the workplace, I didn't see a lot of instruction on being verbal, to be honest with you. You know, me as an evangelist, speaking out the gospel in all types of situations, if you just ask me off the cuff, I would say, yeah, you're supposed to share your faith, you know, talk about God in the workplace. Well, I would definitely preface that with, you have to be a good worker. That's just me. If we go to the Bible actually focuses on our behavior, not so much our mouth. You know, there's nothing worse than someone flapping their mouth, and especially in a work environment, and they're not doing their work. You know, and I think that's the idea. I would ask you this, what comes to mind if you were to hear somebody talk about themselves getting fired from a job because they were a Christian and they were evangelizing on the job? Well, I'll be honest with you. The first thought that comes to my mind is, well, you must have been obnoxious, or you must be a lousy worker, or you were probably talking and not doing your work and they fired you because of that, not for a legitimate persecution. So this is the idea. We have a stereotype of what the guy that witnesses on the job does. We don't want to, you know, look to that, because there are legitimate cases when people are genuinely let go. Maybe it isn't so direct. In one way, shape, or form, they are let go because they are Christian or because they have been witnessing. So we don't want to judge before we have all the facts. But anyway, back to our text. Let's look at this. It says, employees, here's a word to employees. We're to be obedient. So in other words, if we're hired on to do a job, we got to be obedient to what he tells us to do. If the employer is telling us, and the employees are aware of what your job description is, so if you're witnessing to the employer and the employees, and you're not obeying the basics of having a job by doing your job, they're not going to listen to you. Your testimony is going to be, it's not going to be taken seriously. It's going to be taken as, oh, this guy is just a loudmouth. And in fact, you could do more damage, actually, because they're going to think Christians are lazy. We don't want the people that we should be better workers than all the others. And so the behavior on the job, be obedient to your employer. It's a principle in the universe. We have rebellion as a manifestation of the sin of mankind, and started with the devil. The order of the universe is submission. Remember when the man came to Jesus and said, Lord, just send a word and I'll be healed. I have people over me and I'm over people. I know how this works. You could just say a word. You have authority. He understood authority. And so the idea is that we're under authority. When we're told to be obedient to our masters, there's a pecking order in the, whether you work in the corporate world or whether you work in blue collar labor like I did, you're in the military, you're obedient to your supervisor. Now that's a basic. You don't even have to be Christian to get a handle on that principle. So moving on, it says to be well-pleasing in all things. Try to please your employer by your work habits, by your character, by what you do, not so much by what you say. Verse 10, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity. You know, one of the best things to be is an honest worker. The idea of pilfering, for example, when I used to work for Safeway, what they thought of pilfering, stealing is a little different. To steal something is, you know, you take something off the shelf, you walk out the, you know, out of the store with it. They call it shoplifting. Employees, they just call it employee theft, where the employee, you know, likes, say they hide a stereo in the back and they sneak it out under their coat or something like this. They're stealing. What is pilfering? The idea there, pilfering is, it's a form of stealing, but it's not outright stealing. I mean, you sort of can get away with it. For example, in Safeway, they didn't want you pilfering the food. They didn't want you walking by the produce department on your way to do your job and grab a handful of grapes, you know, even if they were loose ones laying at the bottom of the bin there. They didn't want you pilfering like that. They didn't want you to help yourself to snacks. You had to pay for your stuff. So that's the idea there. Now, a Christian, they should live higher standards. So definitely the instruction is not to pilfer. We can pilfer the company's time. We don't want to, we want to be honest with our time. Honest days pay for an honest day's work, that sort of thing. So that's the instruction in Titus. I'm going to read these other passages and you're going to begin to see how they all tie together in the New Testament teaching by the Apostle Paul, coming straight from God, is how we're to act on the workplace. And most of it is, in fact, a witness by our actions. Believe it or not, people are going to find out if you're a Christian. You'll know, because even if they kind of avoid you or whatever else, maybe they persecute you, when they're in time of trouble and they need some prayer, somebody in their family has terminal cancer, you're going to be the go-to guy or the go-to woman. And that's a good thing. But it's going to be based on your testimony of how you act around people. It's going to be based on your character at work. You know, are you kind? Are you patient with people? Are you approachable? Or are you someone that people want to avoid because you're just mean? You know, that sort of thing. Basic stuff. Basic Christianity 101. So a lot of it is how we work. Now, going to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven and there's no partiality with him. We're going to go straight down to Colossians and read that passage because they're so similar. Here it goes. Colossians 3, verses 22 through 25. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there's no partiality. Let's take a look at these passages. Again, starting with Ephesians 6, verse 5, we're as employees to be obedient. Again, that's the same thing it said in Titus. Be obedient to your employer. Be obedient to those that are over you in the secular world. Ephesians here, it adds with fear and trembling. So not to be taken lightly. And we're to do it with sincerity of heart. You know, we're not to be a eye service. You know, that's just when people are looking. We're working real hard when the boss is looking, and when he goes away, we kind of slough off. It's talking about being working to the Lord. The Lord sees all. He sees it when the employer doesn't see it, how you're working. So that's what counts. Nowadays, they have videos on the job. It's pretty hard to get away with sloughing off. So the idea is that we don't want to be someone who just does it as men pleasers. We want to do it to the Lord. We're working unto the Lord. And whatever job you have out there, remember that you are a servant of God and you can please the Lord in your work by obeying your employer. And you will have opportunities to witness, do these things. I believe so. You will receive the same from the Lord. Now, in this passage, he gives instructions to the employer. Let's go down to Colossians, which is a very similar passage. And it says, obey all things your masters according to the flesh. So again, these are the first things that are said in each of these three passages in Titus, Ephesians, and Colossians. Bondservants, okay, or you could say employees, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Think of the importance of that. Told three times there in the New Testament under the epistle teaching of Paul, and it says, it's the first thing it says when it's dealing with this. So that's probably the primary thing we want to do. We want to do our job. We want to watch our P's and Q's on the job. Just do basic things and obey your employer. In Colossians now, it has a couple other things here. Again, you're working unto the Lord, you know, and that's not with eye service, but you're working unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you're going to receive the ultimate reward. Maybe you're not an evangelist like me. Maybe you're not a pastor. Are you faithful in your job? Are you representing Christ? Are you giving a good representation on how you behave on the job? The Lord's going to reward you, my friend. Oh, this is awesome stuff here. One of the things that Colossians puts at the very end, it says in verse 25, it's in the context of this, it says, he who does wrong will be repaid for what he's done. There's no partiality. Well, I don't know exactly how that fits in other than to say this. If you don't follow these instructions, now in the context, again, the historical context, you know, the slave owner did have a right, an employer wouldn't have a right to do today. They had a little bit of the fear of the Lord, you know. That's why I think it adds in the passage there up in Ephesians, do it with fear and trembling. There would be maybe a little bit of reason to fear. Nowadays, we live in a world where you can smart off to your employer and, you know, he's afraid to fire you because they'll get sued. Okay, so that's not how it was back then. And certainly we want to look at it as in today's context, there's no partiality if you get fired for doing wrong things. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. If you're not doing your job and you get fired for it, you know, even the Christian employer firing a Christian employee, and I've seen this happen, the guy gets real bitter at the Christian employer because he was fired. Well, there's no partiality. He got fired because he wasn't doing his job. I mean, assuming that's the context there. We want to look to those scriptures of how we behave on the job. I think that in my experience as a witness, I felt I've always been a good worker. It's reflected not just in my opinion. Our opinion means everybody's right in his own eyes. Work ethic and on the job and that had proved out because I got promotions and things like that. And I got letters and accommodations of being a good employee. So it wasn't just my opinion, but I've had been a good track record in my employment. And I had, quote unquote, if we use that term, earned the right to share my faith because I was such a good worker. And even if they didn't really like it, it was almost like, huh, what are we going to do? Fire him over this? He's the best manager we have. I had managed some of those meat markets. We had six stores. My store always had the highest numbers in net profit. So I'll tell you a little quick story in closing in our teaching section. It's kind of humorous in a way. Again, I was very zealous in the workplace there, but I ran the store that had the only store that had a full service fish counter attached to the meat market, which was very nice for your volume sales, but it was very hard and difficult to get a profit. I maintained that and I had a good percentage of profit. I had taken some liberties. I was very well liked in the store by the other employees, so I did my witnessing. I had a chalkboard for the special of the day on fish. And on that chalkboard, Christmas time, I wrote up there, you know, happy birthday, Jesus Christ. Now, I understand we don't know exactly when he was born and so on and so forth. I don't want to get into all that, but I was a young believer, fairly young believer, and I was very zealous. And I put up there, happy birthday, Jesus Christ. Well, that sign stayed up there and people saw it for like 3 days. And on the fourth day, the general manager comes in, and he was a Jewish man, but he was very careful not to step on people's beliefs. But he says, yeah, I saw your sign up there. He says, do you think we could put up something a little more generic? And I says, you mean like Merry Christmas? He goes, yeah, something like that. So it had been up there 3 days, so I went ahead and put up Merry Christmas after that. That was the, you know, repercussion I got. It was just a suggestion. And I was so blessed in that store. This is another thing I want to add, my friends. If you do witness Christ in word and deed, you will be blessed, I believe. You may suffer persecution as well. You kind of get a mixed bag sometimes. But just remember, do it under the glory of God. He will take care of you, my friend. If not in this life, in eternity. Okay, my friends, it's time again for this week's Help Wit. This week's Help Wit is entitled Third Party Conversions. Now, what do I mean by third party conversions? I don't know if people get converted or not in this situation, but I want to share it with you as a tip. If you're witnessing, whether you are in a public place generally, at a restaurant maybe, on a bus, some other format where there's people on the peripheral edge, be aware that as you're witnessing to one person, they may not even be paying that much attention, but then you sense and ask the Lord for discernment. There's people on the peripheral edge that are actually listening, and they're listening with an open heart that the Lord has prepared. You're aware as soon as you're witnessing to this one person, there are other people that are hearing little bits and pieces, or maybe they're really tuning in to what you're saying. And your divine appointment that day is really with them, not so much the person you're talking to. So just be aware that that happens more often than we think. Many times it'll happen and we won't even know it. But there are people that will listen. And then you realize, if you pick up on that, you realize you're really there for them. And so when you say it to the other people, you're really talking to them. And just be aware that that happens quite often. So the reason I say it's third-party conversions is because that person will take that knowledge or that testimony or that preaching or teaching that you're giving the one person, they will take it. It's kind of like secondhand smoke. They get it, they inhale it, they ingest the gospel, and they go away and they get saved. And so, my friends, that is our Help Wit this week. Please stay tuned for the rest of our broadcast. Well, welcome back, my friends, to the show. If you're just joining us, this is Sharing Your Faith, and we're talking about evangelism. And this is the time that we give attention to the questions we have. And this week's questions, well, the first one has to do actually with our show. And the question is, have I ever been fired for witnessing about Christ on a job? Well, the short answer is no, I haven't. But I want to share a little story about how I came close. Over the years, I've found that witnessing on the job is something that I like to do. I pray for divine appointments, look for the Lord to lead, using wisdom, when to interject something and when not to. There's a time for every purpose and season under heaven, as it tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. But there was a time when I was working as a meat cutter. I was working for a company. This was a unique situation. The company I worked for, called the Meat Shop Incorporated, was actually designed as a co-op. So basically, 12 of us or so. So we were each part owner, and we also then leased out our meat shop into these grocery stores and the health food stores. Well, anyway, I was a meat cutter. I was a store manager. We had certain liberties, certain privileges for being a part owner in this company. We had to still mind our P's and Q's just because you own your own business. And I was only a part owner, by the way. You can't just do your own thing. I witnessed a lot on the job whenever I could. I was very zealous. I worked in one store for a long time in one of the stores in the Green Lake area of Seattle, and they had a store manager. His name was Joe. I didn't really witness much to him. It never really came up for whatever reason. I was transferred later on to another store. I witnessed to that store manager, and I witnessed to many people in the store, not only to the employees, but to the customers. Now, when you witness to customers, you really got to show a lot of wisdom and discernment there. You may have to pay the price. I was witnessing, and there was a situation, and I can't quite remember exactly what it was, but they basically told me that I had to stop what they call proselytizing. Stop influencing people about your Christian faith. You got to stop doing that. Well, I was taken back. I was a little bit naive, and I thought, my heart sunk, and I thought, Lord, I thought you wanted me to witness, you know, and I was very distraught about it. I thought, man, I can't stop witnessing. It's in me, you know, and yet I don't want to lose my job. I have the same temptations and weaknesses as you. Just because I'm a full-time minister now, I wasn't always a full-time minister. When I worked in the workplace, I was always under the temptation to know that if I say anything about Christ, I could lose my job. What happened was, I kid you not, within a half hour, and I was in turmoil about this. I was working away and all, but I was like, what? No more witnessing? And I thought they could, you know, get rid of me, this and that. I could lose my job, so on and so forth. Well, who comes in the store next? Joe, the manager from the other store I used to work at. And we're talking away. He's asking how it's going over there. And I can't help myself. I start witnessing to him. And actually, he seemed to receive it quite well, but I witnessed to him Christ Jesus, shared my testimony, shared the gospel. After he left, I realized, of all people to witness to, another store manager. I'd just been told not to continue to witness my Christian faith to people. And so the next person I witnessed to disobey what they said, it happens to be a store manager. I mean, how stupid is that if we think on those terms? So it's quite comical in a way. But I went away encouraged because I thought, you know, that was the Lord. I wasn't worried he was going to go tell or anything. And everything blew over, and eventually I was kind of back to my norm. Eventually I left the company, and I did go into another job part-time and did some ministry work at that time. But that was a great story. Now, that's not the end of the story. Years later, probably after that incident where I witnessed to Joe there, after being told not to, fast forwarding now several years, 5, 6, 7 years down the road, and I had what I call a tent-making job. I had a janitorial job. I'm a single guy, so I had plenty of time to witness. I did a lot of ministry, and I headed up the Evangelism Explosion program for our church at the time there in Everett, Washington. Well, for the training of that ministry, when we first started it off, I think it was the summer of 95, we had to go down to a major church there in Seattle and go through a conference, basically a workshop, to implement that in our church. And my pastor, my senior pastor, and I myself went down. Well, part of the program down there to learn the ministry of Evangelism Explosion was to attend the church on Sunday. The conference was Friday, I think, and Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then on Sunday, you didn't have to, but they wanted you to come to church. It was a fairly good-sized church. Well, I go to church. Who walks in the door? Joe and his whole family. And he got saved. And I thought, praise God, he got saved. So my efforts along the way, God used me to witness. I don't know if I planted the first seed. I don't know, but I'm sure I watered the seed along the way and had a part in his salvation. So the Lord allowed me to see that. That's a great story and a great testimony for witnessing at work. That was the closest I ever came. I hope that answers your question. We're going to take the second question. It doesn't really have anything to do with the theme of today's show, but it's a common question. And it seems to be, in my answer, I sometimes think, well, I'm redundant. But here's the question. Should every Christian evangelize? I can't imagine this question even coming up in the early church, but it comes up quite often. The short answer is yes. Yes, every Christian should evangelize. Some who say that, you know, it's a gift, and referring to Ephesians 4, some were called to be evangelists. Timothy's told to do the work of an evangelist. And so some people think it's for the specialized few in the ministry that are specially gifted and called and put in a position where they're to do all the evangelism, or the pastor of the church is to do it, but they themselves don't really have that responsibility. And they may invite people to church and different things, but they don't feel the need to witness themselves. What I would say to them is, in contrast, let's look at another gift. Yes, there are gifts in the church for leadership. Of course, Ephesians 4 is talking about the equipping of the saints there. So although we are all called to evangelize, there's only a select number of people that are called to be evangelists. They're set apart for a specific work, and it's to equip the saints, that sort of thing. Now, in contrast, we have Romans 12. There's a list of gifts there, too. Now, one of the gifts is called the gift of giving. We would not apply the same principle to the gift of giving, would we? We wouldn't say, well, I don't give anything to the church. I don't give up my time. I don't give up my finances. And the reason I don't is I don't have that gift. I don't have the gift of giving, so therefore I'm not going to give. Well, that would be ludicrous. We know that every Christian has a responsibility to give to the Lord's work. Of course, the Lord says to be a cheerful giver. There's some principles there that's taught, but we're to be giving people, to give love, to give hospitality, to be giving people, to give financially. We don't have to have a special gift to do that. So I don't think that excuse holds water. We also have Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Now, this is when the persecution arose because of Saul of Tarsus. Philip went down to Samaria. It talks about Philip the evangelist, Acts chapter 8. There is a verse in 4 that says, and they went everywhere preaching the word. Now, who are they? The common folk, the everyday believer. Just the disciple of Christ. The apostles, the leaders, stayed in Jerusalem, actually. And then Philip, who was a deacon, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was an evangelist. He went down to Samaria. But it said everyone went everywhere preaching the word. Now, that word preaching, of course, is evangelijo in the Greek transliteration. And so it's the idea of evangelizing. They went everywhere evangelizing. So, yes, we are to evangelize. Based out of my own experience, just because I'm a full-time evangelist and I've done a lot of evangelism, the same struggles that anyone else does, and I know by personal experience, we would try to grab on to excuses to justify our disobedience. Now, we don't want to do that when it comes to evangelism. We know we should be sharing our faith. There are a lot of reasons why people don't want to share their faith. They're scared. They're filled with fear. They're intimidated. Sometimes it's a hard thing to examine to yourself and admit that maybe you're ashamed of Christ. There are people who are Christians and they're ashamed of Christ. So instead of sharing him, instead of dealing with the element of being ashamed by going before the Lord and confessing that as sin and getting forgiveness, getting cleansing, and go on moving on with the power of God, they don't do that. Instead, they look for excuses not to evangelize. The other reason many times people don't want to evangelize, I think, is because they themselves are living a lifestyle that would not reflect the character of Christ. Now, let's face it, none of us are perfect. We sin against God in thought, word, and deed, and we need to go before him and have a close relationship and be cleansed and confess our sins, as it says, if you confess your sins, he who is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Go before the Lord in confession, repentance, and we move on. We receive the correction. We receive the healing. We receive the power. And then we go try again, as it were. Go out, you know, get back on the horse, as they used to say. You get kicked off the horse, you get back on. Instead of doing that, there's people that will often look for ways to justify why they shouldn't be witnessing or why they can't be bold. So we have to examine our hearts. There's lots of things, but it's really a no-brainer to me. Should every Christian evangelize? Would you ask the question, should every Christian be praying? Would you ask the question, should every Christian be attending some sort of assembly of other believers, or should some, you know, should Christians be reading their Bible? It's, to me, that's the same kind of question. Nevertheless, it does come up, and we hope we answered it today. Stay tuned for our next upcoming segment. God bless you. This is Larry DuBois, your host of Sharing Your Faith. I want to take a moment to talk to you about some resources that we have. If you go to the top of firstloveradio.org, you will see a link that goes to First Love Publications. If you go to that website, it is a site devoted totally to providing free publications. We have books, we have gospel tracts, and a lot of other things there. So if you go up there and check it out, you can order literature to assist you in your evangelism. Whether you're witnessing to just one neighbor or you are doing a citywide outreach, we will be able to, as the Lord provides, help you with that. So please check out First Love Publications. There's an order form there. There is everything you need. So go to it. Order your tracts today. God bless you, my friend. Now back to our regular programming. Well, since we have a little bit of time left on this program, I would like to tell a testimony about the things that proceeded when I came to Christ. We go way back to 1978. I was working in a store, Safeway Stores Incorporated, a grocery chain here in the United States. I was hired on as a box boy, and I just worked my way up the ladder, and now I'm about, 19, 20 years old in that time frame. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because there were very many people that witnessed to me in the workplace as it contributed to the salvation. Now, they could have witnessed to me, you know, off the clock somewhere. Maybe some of that did take place. My memory's a little sketchy on that. For the most part, we had some very vocal people that were Christians. And the store that I was in, it produced a lot of Christians, faithful men and women. Some went on to be ministers, pastors, missionaries. I guess if you include me, I'm one of that group. But anyway, there were several people who witnessed to me. They all played a part. I look back now on it, and I see how they all played a part. I remember there was one lady, and I think she heard across the aisle. See, back in those days, when the store was closed at 11 o'clock at night till, like, say, about 9 in the morning, all that time you could go in there and work. There was no customers in the store. Most stores now, all the grocery stores, are open 24 hours. Well, back in the day, you would just be working. Well, you come in early in the morning, and the closer it got opening time, then more and more people would start to come in and work. Well, during this time, I had some of the produce guys who came in at around 5 in the morning. I was a night stalker, so I was working all night. Well, anyway, so they're witnessing to me, and this lady, I remember Elsie, I think she felt sorry for me. I think she felt that these guys were giving me too much witness there, and she didn't realize I was receiving it, though. That's the difference. But I remember her coming up to me, and she says, you know, I can't verbally witness like these guys. You know, I can hear them over there telling you about the Lord. But she goes, I want you to know something. I'm praying for you. So there again, you have a situation where God is working in the midst of a group of people, and you have different roles. This lady was praying. Other people were doing the actual witnessing, a variety of team effort there. Well, anyway, I want to tell the story about the one produce guy. His name was Bob Farley, and he used to witness to me quite a bit. I never felt that he was over the top. I never felt like I wanted to tell him to shut up. Maybe that could be because I was receiving it. I don't know. Well, anyway, he witnessed to me a lot. In fact, a lady, a young gal, was also working there, was instrumental in leading me to Christ in the reaping part process. But these guys were sowing seed for a couple years, really. I remember my first revelation, if you will. I remember about 1977, so this was about a year and a half or so before I was saved, that I was listening to a radio show, and it was Easter Sunday, and it was a secular program, a talk show about a guy was taking call-in questions, and one of the questions was, if God exists, I would believe if I had proof. And I thought to myself, that is me. You know, that is so me. I want to hear what this guy says. And he started on a long discourse. He started off by saying, look at the hand, look at your hand in front of your face. And he went on a long discourse about the human body, and then he went into all the different, you know, things about creation. And I remember when he was done, I don't remember what the guy on the radio said, but I remember thinking in my heart, that's good enough for me. And I think it was from there that a lot more witnessing was given to me at my workplace. And these guys were faithful to witness. One man, like I mentioned, Bob Farley, he witnessed so much. I think nowadays I look back, I thought, I'm surprised he didn't get fired or reprimanded. But years later, I had talked to my old boss, the old store manager, actually hired me when I was 16. And, you know, now we're fast forwarding several decades. I had heard he had become a Christian as well, but he hadn't worked in the grocery industry anymore. But I went into his place of business there. He was an insurance man, and I was talking to him. We were visiting. I asked him, I said, how did you actually become a Christian? You know, and so he said, well, it all started when Bob Farley handed me a Bible. And I about fell off my chair because I thought this same Bob Farley was the one who was very vocal witnessing to me. That was instrumental in my old boss's life, this witness that he gave him. There was more to that than just giving him a Bible, but that was the start of it. And so we both agreed that even though a lot of people might have thought he was over the top or they, you know, annoying or something, maybe, he had the best effect on us. He did his job. He definitely did his job. He told us about Christ. And like I mentioned on the show, from the Bible, you have a lot of instances where we would do well to work to the glory of God and let our actions really should speak louder in words on the workplace. Yet, what do I remember 30, 40 years later? I don't remember how good a work he did. I remember his words. So words are important, my friends. So if you're on the workplace, I guess I would summarize by saying this. Work hard unto the Lord. Work as though you're doing it unto the Lord. Please your employer and be a good worker. Be a good example. Be available and be approachable for people who may have needs, prayer needs, questions. And so sometimes you'll spark a question. And then, of course, when you have opportunity, perhaps you'll pray for opportunities that you'll be able to open your mouth. Maybe someone will ask you a question. Hey, you know, why are you different? Why is this going on? You're a good worker. And maybe they'll inquire. Can't always trust that people will do that. However, I think if we pray, use wisdom, speak when we give an opportunity, don't keep silent, but speak. There's no guarantees God's going to protect us. He's protected me. He's giving me much grace in the workplace to witness to people. He obviously gave a lot of grace to this Bob Farley because as far as I know, he never was even reprimanded. No one complained that he was talking to him about the Lord. I'm sure a lot of people didn't like it maybe. But I think he had enough discernment to proceed with the people he felt the Lord was showing him that were open. Maybe that was it. I don't know. But on the workplace, do a good job. Speak when you can, and represent Christ. I remember another quick story. This was years later as a meat cutter now, and as a meat cutter for Safeway, I did a lot of traveling at one point. I was a guy that just filled in, so I'd go to the different stores. So I liked that, actually. But anyway, I remember one of the first stores I went to, one of the other meat cutters, he says, I just want to let you know, first and foremost, I'm a, you know, and he just, I don't know how he described it. Basically, he's a partier guy. He's like, you know, he likes to listen to the rock station in the background at work, you know, all kinds of what if he can. And he just wanted to let me know from the get-go he's basically a pagan. So it gave me opportunity. I said, well, in turn, I want to let you know I'm a Christian and now I'm opposing everything you just mentioned. So the crazy thing was we hit it off and we worked well together and we became friends, but there's a danger in that too. When we're witnessing to people at work, we don't want them to convert us, correct? We want to have an influence on them for the Lord. One of the dangers is, and that's a weakness with me, I can be to the Jew, as Paul says, to become a Jew, be to the weak as those who are weak. I can become and relate to these people, but I have to be careful because I can be sucked in to their lifestyle. So pretty soon they've made a convert out of me. Now I become more worldly. Now I become more compromised. So we don't want to compromise or ruin our testimony. So we have to use wisdom, be careful, have boundaries. I kind of hate to use that term, but we need some boundaries perhaps with the ones that are unbelievers. I just would encourage you today and every day to share your faith. God bless you guys. You are listening to First Love Radio, your Christian internet station. Please stay tuned for our interview with Harry Mims. I'm here on the phone with Harry Mims, Marion, Indiana. We're going to interview Harry. Harry was a member of Christ Bible Church, where I attend here in the Bay Area, and he was involved in a lot of things, street preaching and evangelism, and he was doing a Bible study up at one of our little satellite groups up in Fairfield, California. He had done a lot of things, and now he's back in his home state. Harry, why don't you tell us a little bit about the ministry you're doing now?
So now I'm a chaplain at the jail, at Grant County Jail, where I reside. Also, I teach. Part of my chaplain duties is teaching Bible study on Sunday afternoons after my church service. And also, I preach in a chapel service on Tuesday evenings. I'm in a rotation with some other preachers from the community. I'm involved with the Grace House Recovery for Men. It's a faith-based group home dealing with men that's having substance abuse, addiction problems. I lead them in morning devotion every Monday and Wednesday morning before I go to work. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I teach the 4th, 5th, and 6th graders at my church, Twin City Bible Baptist in Marion. Also, I have my pastor give me pulpit opportunities, and I meet with him once a week to pray, talk about personal things, struggles, you know, victories. We're going through the book, Rediscovering the Pastoral Ministry. That's authored by John MacArthur and other facilitators from the Master's Seminary. What else I'm doing? I'm doing the Fort Wayne Rescue Mission. I'm on rotation there with some preachers. I do the Grant County Rescue Mission now. The Juvenile Detention Center, I go in there. It's kind of sporadically. I'm not on a consistent schedule right now due to some security issues and all the things that's going on. It's like a level 5 maximum security juvenile detention center. Time they open the doors back up, I'll make sure to find myself back in there. Today, I just got an email back, so I'm going to be going into a group home for at-risk youth in Fort Wayne called Crossroads. So they're just trying to hash out all the logistics that I will go in there and mentor, do Bible studies and nursing homes. I was doing a nursing home for a minute. That just stopped a few months ago. And there's some other stuff I do, too. I can't even...
Wow. Well, praise the Lord. Sounds like you got a plateful now. Harry works as a software engineer in the corporate world, and then he has a family. He's not just a minister. You know, I minister. I'm a single guy, and I do this full time, and I don't think I do. I don't have as much on my plate as Harry does. So, Harry, tell us what your philosophy is. As we talked about this before, you know, about a lot of the men will get involved in ministry, but at the expense of their family.
Yeah, well, you know, by God's grace, he's really giving me that burden to make sure I'm spending time individually as well as collectively with my family, with my children, one-on-one time, taking my daughters on little dates, hanging out with my son, still finding time to date my wife, still having our weekly devotions, praying together, reading the scriptures together, talking about, you know, spiritual things. Growing up, I wasn't a Christian, and I went to church, and I was around other Christian families, or so-called, quote-unquote, Christian families. And one of the things that I seen early on, as far as people that was in the ministry were, they were 100% at the church, 100% at all the meetings, all the conferences, on time for crossing the T's and dotting I's with the church, but then on the back end, the family was falling apart. The daughter was running wild. The son was, you know, gang banging and selling drugs. And I believe that they neglected, you know, to have that balance to make sure that they are dealing with the first ministry of family. Like me, myself, I wouldn't find myself going into jails and prisons and rescue missions and serving all this ministry if my home front is not stable first. You know, and I ain't saying that it's got to be perfect, but it should be some type of balance there. And me and my wife's philosophy is seek first the kingdom of God and let everything else fall into place. So, you know, I just praise God that he gave me and my wife both that foundation to want to have this family thing first. And, you know, and then let everything flow from, you know, putting Christ first or at the head of our family.
Amen. That's great. Well, this interview coincides with our topic on this week's program, and that is witnessing in the workplace. And I know that over the years when you were here in the Bay Area and that, you had a lot of testimonies, but you are faithful to witness in the workplace. Why don't you share a little bit about that and the difficulties or the, you know, whatever you want to share about witnessing in the workplace?
You know, when I first was saved, I was saved October 16, 2011. And I remember when I first started going on job interviews, as I was transitioning, I used to witness to the people in the interviews. Like, I couldn't stop Jesus from coming out of my mouth. That's how much my zeal was. And then going from working in warehouses and factories to getting a degree and going over to corporate America, I still kept that zeal and always prayed for opportunities to, you know, witness, you know, Christ to people and share the love of the gospel. I had an incident one time where I was wearing a dashiki, a shirt that I had got from Nigeria when I was on a short-term missions trip. I was wearing a dashiki, and my boss at that time, this was my first job that I had grabbed with my degree working in corporate America, quote-unquote. And, you know, she asked me about my shirt, and then as the conversation evolved, I just got to share my faith with her. You know, she was taken back and was blown away. You know, she seemed like she received it, you know, the gospel and repentance and putting your faith and trust in Christ, supposed to glorify God and everything we do and our ethics and our morals and stuff that I was saying. So I don't really remember everything I said. But, you know, shortly after that, she started removing me off projects. She started removing me out of meetings, saying I didn't need to be there. Until it snowballed all the way till one day she just called me in her office and told me she didn't need me anymore. I know it was by God's grace because he wanted me to come out to Indiana, and I did have that burden to come to Indiana. But once I got that job, I was, you know, working in one of those buildings in Berkeley, you know, overlooking the Bay Area, one of those buildings. Like, I felt like I had arrived. Like, this is it, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything was changing. Like, I felt like God had placed me there for a minute, and this was going to be it. I'm like, I had told myself, I ain't said this to nobody else, but like, I ain't going nowhere. Like, I'm in this big building, the parking is nice, you got the dude answering the door, we got the full stock kitchen, refrigerator, free food at work, catering. I mean, it was just amazing, like the whole atmosphere. But far as when it came to Christianity, that's where the divide came in at. And, you know, God allowed me to go through that process and being moved out of that place. And this is why I'm here in Indiana, because he opened up the door, gave me an opportunity. Once I had this burden for years after I was saved to come back to Indiana, I got a job offer to come back this way, and I stepped out on faith.
Amen. You know, it's interesting because the people do struggle with, now, like for myself, for example, one of the jobs I had over the years was a construction worker. If you're a witness on the job there, the guys just say, shut up, you know, and maybe cuss you out, and then you just go on and work. It's unlikely mm-hmm. you're going to suffer repercussions like in the corporate world. Like, you know, you're not going to possibly get fired on a construction job for that. Back when I was a young man, before I was a Christian, there was a man who witnessed to me at a Safeway store. He was a grocery clerk. And I look back now and I think, I'm amazed he didn't get fired because he was very vocal. But, you know, I think God blesses that, too. So it's kind of a balance there. So your experience in the corporate world a lot different than just working for some guy, you know.
You know, even now, where I work at now, you know, I didn't witness to just about some of everybody from, you know, managers to supervisors to you know, people that's up in the higher echelon on in the workforce within my company. And, you know, by God's grace, I'm still around. You know, me and my boss, we have lunch together time to time. He asked me about my faith, Christianity. He's Catholic. Telling him it's not by works, it's by the grace of God. And, you know, he definitely can see something different in me than everybody else. Praise God for it, because a lot of them, you know, they use the Lord name in vain, they cuss. But like my boss, and he might even do that when he around me, he try to catch himself and he apologize if he does around me. So, you know, that's by the grace of God. Times that, I done got into a conversation with a Buddhist at work, and, you know, she tried to just dog out Christianity and Jesus and what I believe. And once I answered her intellectually as well as the power of God, she didn't have nothing to say. She totally shut down. I got an email from a Christian who I didn't even know was a Christian. I didn't really know. They just looked up my name in the company and emailed me and said that they overheard the conversation. And they sent out a short couple sentences to other people within the company and some other people that they know personally about the testimony that I gave and the way I shared my faith with the lady and how encouraging I was and how refreshing I was. It was a blessing. I mean, it made me like, it's all God. You know, I just praise God for the opportunity. Like I said, I pray that God will, you know, allow me to be used. If I can say something, I'm not trying to be too long-winded. I believe, and I've shared this with other people before, you know, a lot of people, I believe, they don't share their faith and they're not bold in their faith in sharing it because they're still struggling and wrestling with sins that they haven't confessed to God. You know, they're not keeping a short account with God. And because they still wrestling with this in the back of their mind, when they hear some or when it's like the Lord is impressing their heart to speak out against some or to encourage somebody, they don't do it because they feel like a hypocrite. It's like their heart is lying to them. Satan is at work at that too at the same time. But, you know, if you constantly in the Word, if you constantly in prayer and you trying to, you really just saying out by, only by faith, I believe that that will make you bold. Once your life is completely surrendered, no matter if you at work, school, church, baseball game, gas station, when your mouth opens up, you know, the Spirit is going to come out.
Yeah, amen. I imagine if all of us Christians were doing that on a daily basis, we wouldn't necessarily have to have special functions, I guess, to go out witnessing, but it's good to have both. I just pray and thank you for your time, and may God bless you and your family and your ministry out there in Indiana now. It's good to hear from you. Thank you very much.
It's good to hear from you too, Brother Larry, and hopefully, Lord willing, next year I'll be out there at the conference that the church has, or if not, if you come back this way, you know, you're more than welcome to come stay with us.
Okay, thank you.
Well, as this week's program draws to a close, like always, I'd like to tell you a few things about what's coming up in the next few weeks, the Lord willing. We will once again try our hand at a live program at some time in the future. We'll keep you posted on that. Next week, we're going to have the topic, door-to-door evangelism. I got a couple of short interviews with some men at the church there that go out door to door. I myself have done this ministry in the past, and so we have lots of testimonies concerning door to door evangelism. Maybe it's the forgotten ministry. A lot of people are very intimidated by that ministry as well. Coming down the pike a little bit is a website I've designed called The Reality of Hell, and we will be unveiling this website at the same time. We're going to talk about the role of this doctrine in evangelism. It is a very important doctrine because if someone were to ask you, why do I need to be saved? Well, it gets into that. It would get into sin, judgment, and the penalty for sin. Far down the road, we'll be looking at citywide outreach. Our own church has one coming up. It's called the Gospel Fest, and that's in July, the end of July. We're going to tell you a little bit more about that next week. It's in the San Francisco Bay Area, of course, in a town called Union City. We'll be talking to what I consider the king of city outreaches, and that is SOS Ministries with Larry Rosenbaum. So these are some of the things that are coming up in the future, and so we hope you return. That's all we have time for today, my friends. Be sure to go by my website, lawrencedubois.com, your evangelism resources, or if you want to listen to a past broadcast, including this one here, go to sharingyourfaithradio.com. You've been listening to Sharing Your Faith. I am your host, Larry DuBois, and this is First Love Radio, your Christian internet station. Hope you can join us next week.